and welcome to another episode of the Long Ball Football Podcast, a weekly podcast by two brothers about all things football. In Portugal, you're listening to myself, Albert, and as always, joined by my brother, Barney. How are you doing, Barney? How's things?
Yeah, good. Not too bad. Not much to report. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Enjoying the sunny weather. It feels a bit more like Portugal over here now with the late sunsets and stuff. I mean, only the sort of smog and pollution that gives it away, but there you go. I'm also joined by Andrew Batista. Andrew, how are you doing, sir? You all right?
Yeah, very good, thanks. I'm happy to be back. Don't forget the gusts of wind. No matter how sunny it is, if you leave the house without a jacket, you will pay.
Yeah, it's deceptive. I look outside, imagining myself strolling down the Douro River, and then no, it's not quite there yet in the
No, not
UK.
yet.
But we're getting there. But it's great to be back. We're going to be talking about a lot of the action from this weekend's Premier League football. We haven't got a long section on the Benfica-Gil Vicente game because it wasn't technically part of this weekend, although it was a very good result for Benfica. They won 3-0. And although they're 3 points behind Sporting at the end of the weekend, they've got a game in hand. And they will be playing on Wednesday night, I believe. So, yeah, we won't be covering that game in this podcast, but we'll do a lot on Benfica next week. I'm sure they got a big game coming up. So yeah, lots to come on Benfica, but as it stands, they're keeping pace with Sporting. But I think, gents, we will start with Andrew's team with Porto, who continued what I think is a decent patch of form. They won away against Estoril. There was semi-controversial penalties for both teams, which kind of leveled the game up, and then it was a real classy goal from the star boy Rodrigo Moura that sealed the win. Yeah, Andrew, I'll come to you first. What were your thoughts on the performance as a Porto fan?
Thought it was a good performance overall in a kind of an average game. Porto started really well, great intensity. They started on the front foot. They created some good chances early on. Estoril were playing with that high line that they've kind of tried to maintain. But as the game went on, it kept going further back and back because that's really hard to keep up, especially with the quick forwards that Porto has. So that route over the defense was always on. Then Porto concede the penalty, expertly scored by Begrau. He continues this great run and this very impressive season he's having. But Porto's reaction was really good. Straight away, they sort of carried on doing what they were doing, up the intensity to try and find that equalizer. They got their reward, the penalty just before half time, and then Samu put it away. Another really great penalty scored. And Samu continues his sort of great run as well this season. His return has been great, and his leadership as well is something that Porto desperately needs at the moment. You can see his confidence, not just as himself as a striker, but his position in the team. He very much feels like the main guy in that team, and he's quite happy to be that sort of character. Overall, Porto defended pretty well, even in the second half when Porto kept sort of attacking. This is still a good Estoril team that can hurt you. They're a well-coached team that plays some good football, but Diogo Costa only had one save to make, and then the winner comes from the young superstar, like you said, Rodrigo Moura. The in my eyes the best 17-year-old player in the world. Move over, Lamine Yamal. Of course I'm joking, of course I'm joking, but he's certainly up there. And it was great play in the lead up to the goal, and that's why it's important to have good wing backs, particularly in the system. You saw Francisco Moura with the overlap, and then he had the quality and the sort of the decision making to get the ball back to him, and then Moura does that little bit of trickery to get past Pedro Alvaro, and then a great finish. And I think more than anything, we needed this sort of positive performance because, like you said, it is a nice little purple patch for the team. And Braga are still right behind us. You want to sort of secure this Europa League place. And yeah, it was very important to sort of get this win, but also play as well as we did. You can see Anselmi's philosophies and his ideas more clearly on the pitch now. You can see the players are understanding it more. They are more comfortable within their positions. And even though he's having to work around some of the shortcomings of the squad, like starting Steven Eustaquião at centre back, that shows you the kind of centre back he wants. He wants a ball player, someone that has the guts to sort of get the ball from the goalkeeper, turn around and break the lines with his passes. And then you have Ivan Marcano, who's, the 38-year-old, just come back from a very serious injury. It was really great to see him back. I'm happy he's back. For him to sort of return, go straight back into the squad and stay there, or in the starting 11 and stay there, I think shows you how good Marcano is, but also shows you Martin's lack of confidence in the other centre backs. Otavio was on the bench, Zé Pedro was on the bench, so there's a lot of work to be done with centre backs come the summer. But overall, I think, further up in attack, it's very promising, and there's a lot of good things happening, and in the midfield as well, where it seems like one or two players might move on, but we know how good the team has been in recruiting, especially midfield players.
Yeah, and you're so right. I mean, that's what Porto's season is about now, isn't it? It's about kind of seeing what can be achieved next season. And it's obviously, of course, very disappointing. No Porto fan is satisfied with not being in a title race, although that's the reality of where this season is at. But the most important thing now is for the Porto fans to be able to look at the team, look at the manager, and have confidence in what's being built for next season. And I think that is what we've started to see over the last maybe 5 or 6 games, because those first few games under Anselmi were, forgive me, I'm not criticizing the manager, but they weren't like it wasn't a spectacular start. There were kind of a lot of problems, like evident. But I completely agree that one of the most pleasing things to see was the system doing well, and the two Moras kind of linked up for the goal, but equally were probably the two most influential players in the game, and that wing back position was almost as important as the kind of free role that the young Rodrigo was playing in the midfield in the attack. So yeah, lots of positives, and I like to think that maybe Marcano's presence is kind of keeping the spirit of Conceição alive somewhat. It's just that aging centre back still there. It kind of, I'm clinging on to that, even if nobody else is. But I would be surprised if he's still doing that next season, perhaps. I'm interested, Andrew, what do you think about Samu? Because I've seen some criticism of Samu, or not necessarily criticism, but perhaps questioning of Samu about perhaps what his true potential is, and we have seen that he's not always been consistent. I think it's probably a little bit unfair for such a young player who flew out of the traps this season and scored loads of goals, maybe quieting down a little bit. But I think you're right to point out that this was another good performance for him. It's such a young man who's taking on, as you say, real responsibility in the team.
I think that's exactly it. He's decided to take that responsibility on and be the big figurehead, play that role in front, and his energy, his sort of willingness to press. He presses from the front, and that sort of helps the team forward. He's very passionate, and sometimes it gets the most of him. He can be a bit sort of emotional and stuff, but I'm not too bothered about that, because sometimes I think if you take too much emotion out of a player, he's not the player he's supposed to be. Do you know what I
Completely
mean? So
agree. Yeah.
I think that's something that he'll just have to sort of manage, and every now and then he might get a red card or something like that. But this is football, and that sort of happens. As long as he keeps scoring goals and he keeps performing, and when the pressure's on, he keeps slotting away penalties like that, and doesn't shy away from it, because that's what makes a good striker. I've seen that criticism, but I don't agree with it. I like him. I think he's just the kind of striker you need. You need someone that has that character, and again, leadership. There isn't a lot of leaders in this team. I mean, Marcano came in, and because of the leadership qualities he has, and obviously the experience he has, he's not getting out of that team now. Do you know what I mean? And that's it's because it's lacking that kind of leadership within the team. And you have players that have been there for so long that don't have those qualities. I don't want to pick on him, but like a player like Pepe, who he's been around for a long time. He's hot and cold. I mean, no one can really tell me if he's good or not. Like, someone tell me definitively, because sometimes he is, sometimes he's not. And it's sort of up and down. He's such a promising player, or he was when he arrived. And we've never really got to see that consistently.
Barney, go on. What are your thoughts on the game?
Well, no, I wanted to talk. I'm glad we're talking about Sammy, because I think it was a few weeks ago. I was perhaps being a little, well, I was a bit critical of him, but slash sort of suggesting that Anselmi wasn't getting the best out of him. I think Andrew described it great, that now they've had more time, we are starting to see players get used to the system. It just looking better on the pitch than it had done at the start. And more importantly, the likes of Moura and Fabio Vieira around him are just helping things, well, helping him find more joy, I'd say. I think Moura left wing back is probably an easy thing to say, but that seems like a real natural position for him. Not in a back four, in that back five. That's great for him. I do maybe look at the other side and wonder if João Mário is that right player. I can't quite decide myself personally between him and Martin Fernandes, but anyway, I think that those positions are going to be really key for them. I mean, I did want to talk about Moura because.
Which one? Sorry. Yeah, I know which one you mean. Sorry.
I don't think I've got excited enough about him yet. I think this game, I did. I think sometimes I can question his decision making a little bit. There was a few passes that went astray. I thought he could have done better, but essentially, he just looks so young as well. He's so small, isn't he? Like he
I
just
know,
looks
I know.
thick, but he is
When you
so
watch,
good.
when they showed the replay of his goal, when they showed that close-up angle where they almost filmed it from behind the goal, I'm looking at it thinking this guy looks 14 against men, but fantastic.
But and I'm trying to like it's interesting to compare him to Fabio Vieira and perhaps Vitinha in terms of I'd love Vitinha when he was there at Porto. I'd love Fabio Vieira when he was there at Porto the first time, but I'm more excited about Moura. There's just like it feels more special. He just seems like such a talent. And yeah, I think in this Anselmi system, it's really nice to see him given that opportunity and to play the way he's playing. My only other final point really was about Eustáquio in the centre back position. I loved it. I feel it was like, I think it made things so much better. I liked it because I don't like him in the midfield, but I liked him there. I thought he looked great. And I think you said, Albert, that it's interesting to see what Porto are going to fight for the rest of the season. Odris Fils Boas is, this is quite a big moment for him because they're not really going to get anything. There was a bit of this, section of Porto fans who weren't happy with the Anselmi appointment a couple of weeks ago. There was the things up in the stadium. I'm inclined to say it's going to go right. I think the good things are going to happen. But there is still a pressure for me in them to perform better and better. They've got to get better every week is what I'm trying to say. I think that's the reality because it has been a messy season. And Selmy did take a little time to get things going. It does seem like he is now. And now I just want to see him improve week after week. Because that's, that they do have to show something this season.
I think there's still a big job to be done. Like leading up to next season, there's a lot of players that there's question marks around whether or not they're going to be here next season. There's also the financial issues. There's not a lot of money to spend either. So it's going to be very difficult, and we're going to see what Villas-Boas is made of because this is going to be one of the most difficult things he's had to deal with. And just to go back to Rodrigo Moura, what I just want to say, he's 17. He looks like a child. He's tiny. It's crazy. And there's certain leagues that right now it won't work for him, but it looks like he's going to get the move. There's a lot of talk around Real Madrid, Arsenal, Man United, all these kind of huge clubs. And when there's that many clubs and there's a certain you-know-who agent that is his job is to get these players out. I hope for Porto's sake and I hope for his own sake he stays at least another season. You don't want him to go too early. I mean, you see some success stories, obviously, but there's also the cautionary tales of Renato Sanches and João Félix, who are still kind of, picking up the pieces of their career. So you want him to make the right move, and he is such a talent, almost a generational talent. Just he looks like it. He looks so accomplished on the ball, and you want to see that sort of grow and flourish.
Yeah, and I think in many ways, if you're talking about the next best move for a young player of his age, so young, of 17, being somewhere where they can make a kind of comfortable step up to like a Europa League or Champions League club where they're going to be the main man. Well, he doesn't need to move to do that because he's already at that club. So I
Absolutely.
completely agree. And there are so many players you can look at. You look at João Félix, who, they're talking about him coming back to Benfica. And I mean, in many ways, in some ways, sorry, you could even say Trincão is kind of like that. Obviously, Trincão has been in Portugal, back in Portugal now for a few years, and has benefited from that. But another one where that perhaps that move abroad, getting it wrong, was something that kind of held him back. So I mean, yeah, look, a long way to go. I completely agree that next summer is going to be much bigger for Porto. Like we spoke so many times about how this summer, like the previous summer that just went, was almost a free hit because, you know, it was the new regime after so long, and the manager leaving after being in charge for so many years that nobody really expected anything. Well, I think what Anselmi is giving us now is something to kind of expect a little bit more of next season, and I think the good signs are there. So, yeah, I would be kind of optimistic, and you know, maybe there will be a little bit of pressure on their shoulders in the summer, but that's what they want. You know, they want to earn that kind of pressure and expectation, which a club like Porto has to have. There's no way that a club like Porto can exist without pressure and without expectation. So
Absolutely.
that's what people want. Shall we touch on Estoril, guys, before we move on? Because I mean, we've spoken about Estoril quite a few times in recent weeks, playing against a big club and putting in a good performance, but ultimately not getting anything out of it. And I'm not criticizing them for that. Of course, it's so hard for a club of that size to really get that kind of statement result. I think given the season that they had, it would have been maybe the kind of icing on the cake to get that kind of win over a Sporting or Benfica or a Porto in the league. I don't think it's happened at any point. I mean, definitely in the last few games they played against those clubs, obviously they've lost all of them. But good performance, good players, like you say, very good penalty, and some decent performances on the pitch. I mean, yeah, Barney, and I know you've watched a lot of Estoril, so yeah, let me know what you thought.
I was really interested, particularly with the sort of the not the the clash of formations, if you will. You know, I was interested. I was interested to see how that was going to play out. I just want to make sure I'm getting this right, but I was going to highlight Rafik Gaetan in the sense that I feel like, for all his talent and how much we love watching him, I just feel like he never steps up in the big games. Do you know what I mean? Like I
A little
just feel
bit,
like
yeah.
we haven't yet seen that performance again at a big club. I thought this, you know, we had that one shot in this game. He did it right, but yeah, coming up against Meccano, Meccano was quite comfortable. So, yeah, I think that's one area I wanted to highlight. The only other thing as well was just the goalkeeper, João Robles, was who we've been huge fans of this season, was out in this game, and then I was just surprised to see that it was a Costa Rican slash, I think he represents Costa Rica or Nicaragua, Kevin Chamorro. I just never heard of him before, but yeah, the penalty was great, so he wasn't going to save that. But otherwise, I don't know about if he could do slightly better for Mora's goal. I don't know. But yeah, they're just as good as Estoril been. I think they're just, yeah, we haven't seen that. I don't know. I
I think
wanted a little.
what you say about Gaetan is it's true. It's a good point, because even when he had his chance at the big move, he kind of choked as well. And maybe
It's a good point.
he's just not that kind of player. He's not the kind of guy that can take the pressure and still perform. He kind of can do one or the other. And there's players like that, unfortunately, for him. But he's, you know, no doubt he's very talented. Whether or not he can perform higher than this level, I don't know. We haven't really seen it yet. So, yeah.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. All right, gentlemen, let's move on to Sporting's game. They beat Estrela Amadora 3-0 away from home. Try and be fair on this podcast. I'm going to say it. I think they benefited from some very generous refereeing decisions. I
I'm
don't
glad
think
you said
that's.
that.
Listen, I mean, we can try and be non-biased, but I think sometimes you've got to call a spade a spade. I think, you know, the penalty and the sending off were very soft, to say the least.
Can someone confirm the sending off for me? Like, what? I'm still a bit slightly confused about what happened. Was it just upgraded to a red, or was
Oh.
it like was it was
No, I think
doing
he got a
something?
first yellow. He got a first yellow earlier. I think it was like in
Ah,
the
okay.
21st minute or something like that. And then it's almost like the ref gave the second yellow and then realized, oh shit, I
Yeah,
gave that
yeah.
guy a yellow
It
before.
was
And then,
very, very much
yeah.
exactly that, wasn't it? You could see the ref almost realizing in real time, and possibly wouldn't have given the second yellow had he known.
It's too late at that point, yeah.
It was too late. But look, alas, they got the goal. They got the sending off from the penalty, and then they took advantage with a very good solo goal again from a talented young player, Giovanni Quenda, and a second late penalty from Victor Gyökeres. So very comfortable win from Sporting. I think we can all agree. Not a penalty, not a sending off. I mean, the Alan Ruiz on Ousmane Diamande was pretty incredible. I mean, I found it quite ironic personally that it was Diamande who himself has gotten into a lot of trouble with his kind of flailing limbs and sort of general lack of just being very clumsy. And then I think he was like, "Well, listen, it's happened to me a bunch of times, so I'm gonna take one myself."
I find it very funny that Alan Ruiz, who's a pretty small guy, and Diomande, who's a massive guy, and it's sort of that role reversal of Diomande throwing himself to the floor after just a touch from Alan Ruiz. I mean, it was a super soft penalty. No, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's not too many serious talking points we can take from the game, other than two goals for Victor Gyokeres, who continues to march on with his quest to be the kind of standout player in Portugal once again for a second year running, which I think he's probably on course to do, despite the fact he's maybe been slightly less eye-catching this season than last year, although that is of we're holding him to very high standard. Yeah, Barney, I don't know if you've got any talking points. I mean, the thing I took was some very good performances from the likes of Kenda, who continues to impress such a young age. Andrew, I'll ask your opinion on his move to Chelsea in a second, but just comment upon it. And then players like Jenny as well, who I thought was very effective down the left-hand side. So look, good performances from the players that we come to expect, but hard to judge them on this game.
Yeah, I think Quenda really stood out in this game. Even when I just yeah, he just I think his finish for the goal was in particular just sort of maybe sort of be like, oh yeah, this guy is gonna be something. It was that was quite I felt like I don't know, it just felt like a mature finish. I don't know if you know what I mean. That to take it from that angle and decide to take the shot, I thought that was great. And then I just wanted the midfield really for Sporting, which Heumann and Morita have been out a lot, a fair few times this season, and then De Bast has obviously stepped in. We've talked about him a lot, but Felissimo as well, who I think similar to De Bast can play a centre back as well. But I quite like him in there. He's looked comfortable every time he's played, similar to De Bast in that
Well,
sort
De
of.
Bast is playing himself out of a centre back spot. He's never going to go back there the way he's playing.
Well, yeah, it's I don't know, yeah, and I think perhaps that's something that Sporting have struggled with in the past, but under Rui Borges, who's he seems to trust these players to fill in those gaps. And so when the likes of Heumann and Morita are out, I think that's been a huge boost from that players like that can come in. And the only of this is just a sort of more personal thing, but I just love Matheus Reiss. I just think like he's been such a good signing. And
He's a workhorse,
I think he's great. I don't know if he's I don't know if he's underrated or like, but like for the when he arrived, for what the job he was going to do, he's done so many different jobs. I just like the fact he just bombs up so much on that left wing, like, and then he was starting at centre back. He's one of my favourite players. He's just such a.
was he, am I right in saying that he was part of that Streets Will Never Forget Rio Ave team? Is that where he came from? Was that him? He's the most Portimonense player to never play for Portimonense anyway. But enough enough waffling. Yeah, Andrew, like I said, I don't think there's loads to touch on, but interested to get your thoughts on the game. And we obviously haven't spoken to you since Kenda's moved to Chelsea, so I'd definitely be interested to hear your thoughts on that as well.
So I'll start with with the game. Yeah, it was, even though there was some generous refereeing decisions, Sporting deserved the win. They were
Yeah,
by
definitely.
far the dominant team. Estrela, Amador are playing like a team that should be relegated and probably will be. I said this last time, I don't think I've seen a good game of theirs yet. And it's strange because you look at the players and they're not like terrible players, but they're not.
No.
It's so hard to sort of put my finger on what the issue is.
I mean,
And
sorry, Andrew, I thought this lineup they put out was way too positive. If you know, they're just like, the fullback positions, like the three strikers, it just, I don't know, didn't feel like a
well,
good.
I think they've realized they have to start winning games probably and start putting points on the board. And it's a bit late on. I mean, so Luis Silva, who's the assistant, he spoke after the game and he said that they was you know they played to win. And look, I wish they would have told the players that because it didn't look like that. Because even though they were positive, it was like a positive team. I don't think they really did enough within the game.
No.
And again, it's not like it's a terrible squad of players, but also they've got the strange manager sort of thing going on. José Faria, who's the manager, is also the sporting director who appointed himself as the manager. So
Yeah.
this is, well, you're going to sack yourself? Like, that's not going to happen. So they need to figure that out. They probably need to go down to Liga Dos for a season, regroup, and maybe go the project route because they don't have a bunch of money. But the players, I mean, these are players we know. Rodrigo Pingo, we know him.
Yep.
Kikaj, who's the defender? Miguel Lopes, I think it was the defender. There's players. Alan Ruiz, it's been around forever. Fabio Ronaldo.
Ferreira,
Yeah, Fabio Ronaldo. These are players we
Ronaldo.
know. And yet they just lay these turds every week. And it's really, it doesn't make any sense to me. As for Sporting, I mean, Rui Borges, he's, this team look even better now. I think he's benefiting from the fact that, or maybe we are benefiting because we get to see this, but Ruben Amorim was very rigid in the way he used to set up his team, and everyone had to kind of do a very specific thing. That's how he wanted it. And Rui Borges is very different. You know, he came in, he got them playing four at the back immediately. He's now moved to three at the back, so the players look even better. The centre backs are more used to that. But he can also take someone like De Bast and say, actually, no, you're going to be a defensive midfielder now, and let them sort of do what they have to do. And he's a lot more sort of relaxed in that way as a manager, and he kind of fills those gaps in and lets and has trust in the players to do what they need to do. But then also he relies on players to come in and make a difference as well when things aren't working the way Jenny did in this game.
Completely.
Oh
And I mean
yeah, and
the
sorry, the
back, yeah,
Kenda.
go on.
Yeah, so I was going to say the Kenda transfer. I mean, he's a great, talented player. He's going to be, you know, he suits the Premier League so well. I don't know if Chelsea need another winger. I don't know if that's really the move, but I understand, you know, you sort of you go there, and he in his mind he's probably like, no, nah, I'm better than any of these guys, and he should think that. He's a professional footballer, and he should think, you know what, I'm going to be better than all these players. But they're a team that they have so many of these attacking players, these attacking wide players. You don't really know what their position is. I think he'll be very good in the Premier League. Whether or not that's at Chelsea, I don't know. It's hard to know what's happening with Chelsea because under this new leadership, we don't really know what they're about because they haven't really been in for that long, and they've made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, and they just seem to be hoovering up talent. And if I was sort of a young player with a competent agent looking for kind of red flags or things to be cautious of, I think, you know, a team that's just like grabbing everything they can get to me might be a little bit of a red flag. But
Is he being loaned back? Sorry. Is
he's
that
it's not the, well, I don't know how they're referring to it, but he's not going next season. He's staying at Sporting next season and joining from the season after, which at least that is a positive because, you know, he'll be even better by the time he leaves. And
For
listen,
sure, yeah.
fair play to him. I wish him all the best. I hope he rips it up. He's a quality player. All right, we're going to try and get through a few more games today if we've got time. Starting off with Braga, who beat Arouca 2-1. It's been a somewhat up and down season for Braga, but this was a good result. They've had a few good results recently. They took a deserved 2-0 lead into half time, and they did hold on despite increased pressure from Arouca and a goal in the second half. Juras Rasic with an incredible performance from midfield, which really stood out to me. The one thing I'd kind of picked up on when I was watching Braga in that spell where they were underperforming or not doing too well was lacking some kind of midfielder who would just get involved in the build up and be more risk taker or that kind of player. I have to say, when I imagined what the solution might be, I had in my head maybe a kind of technical midfielder. I didn't necessarily imagine Rasic, but in some ways, I thought in this game he did play that role in the sense that he was getting forward, he was combining with players, and he was, you know, an important part of both goals that were scored. So fair play to him, a fair play to Braga, who put together a decent performance and a deserved win. But yeah, Andrew, maybe not the best performance of the season, but this is the type of thing the game they've got to win if they're gonna be pushing up the table. Well, and I know you wouldn't want them to, but if they're gonna challenge for that third place.
Yeah, it was a strange game. It felt like Braga were dominant, and they did dominate possession. They created quite a lot of chances, but then you look at the goals. It's that mistake from Jason, like you said, and then I mean, an incredible finish from Mr. Braga himself, Ricardo Horta. Just an incredible finish for that first goal. And then the second goal is just a header goal from a corner. So it's not like it was, you know, these amazing chances. And that's probably credit to Vasco Seabra, who knows how to set up his team in a way that you know, you're going to generate chances, but it's going to be sort of low XG chances. He's a very tactically astute a manager. But when I look at this Braga team, they lack this cutting edge. They lack something that would make me fear them as their opponents. And I know they recently, you know, they beat Porto, but they're not like this really high-flying team. And I look at the players, and on paper, they seem like they should play better than they do, just based on the talent. You look at sort of it's Gorbi or and then Garbi, Zalazar, João Moutinho, Roger Fernandes, Gabriel Martinez. These are all really good players. Victor Gomes, the huge upgrade on Matheus, which is their goalkeeper now.
Lucas Hornacek.
Hornacek, yeah, Hornacek. These are really good players, and you try to figure out what's missing. There's that cutting edge that's definitely missing. So I hope they see what it is. They need to move on from Carlos Carvajal, in my opinion. That sort of project is maybe over, and I think they'll see that in the summer. You need sort of a young, exciting manager to come in and try and get this team playing a different kind of football, because they are quite a young team. If you take João Moutinho and Ricardo Horta out of it, they're a relatively young group of players that are very exciting. And you need maybe some young Portuguese manager, because there's a lot of great young Portuguese managers with great ideas. That's one thing that Portugal produces in bucket loads to sort of push you forward. And I hope António Salvador sees that, because yeah, it's one of those things where you have these great players like Ricardo Horta, who will go down as, you know, their greatest player ever. He's got the most goals already and assists and whatever, but he never really has a chance of winning anything.
I'm not going to say what I always say. I'm not going to do
I
it.
was
I'm
going
not
to
going
ask you.
to say it.
Can you think of any
Well,
young Portuguese managers who might?
they had a go in the summer, didn't they? And then they bottled it somewhat. But maybe they'll change their mind. Barney, what did you think? I mean, I thought Andrew's completely right that they more or less dominated the game, but they were never quite comfortable. They were never quite safe. And I think Aruca were always there, kind of knocking on the door. There weren't loads of amazing chances. I know they had the goal ruled out, but it was kind of an okay performance. But I mean, even Aruca might be thinking, listen, maybe we could have done better in the game.
I mean, it's just, this is what Braga have been this season. And I was actually going to say, to Carvajal's credit, really, because it hasn't been flashy. It hasn't been exciting. Well, it's barely been exciting, but they are still sitting there on 56 points, same as Porto. And,
Very underperforming Porto, though, who dropped a lot of points, just to play devil's advocate.
Yes, but, the
So I
season
think
is the
that I'm
season.
just the only reason I bring that up is I think that kind of illusion of not it, sorry, it's not an illusion at all, of course, because they are level on points, but the fact that they're in a fight for third place, I think, is perhaps down to Porto dropping more points than they would have normally. But that's, I mean, listen,
No, I don't dispute it, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that, it's as Andrew says, they do need to move on for Carvajal, but I feel like that the reason he was brought back is to be that safe pair of hands. And to be fair to him, I think he has been that safe pair of hands. I think that, because they've had lots of players coming in out of the midfield. I think we mentioned Zalazar coming straight back into the team after his transfer debacle, but, suddenly with him, Rasic, Moutinho, that's the strongest it's looked all season, to be fair.
That's true.
Rasic, I absolutely loved. I loved him when he was at Famalicão. I enjoyed him when he was at Braga the first time. I love the fact he grabbed the number 10 shirt this time, and like you said, he was playing that. He was playing quite an interesting role. He's a big guy. He's not just I sort of imagine him as that sort of holding player, but he was doing it. He was getting himself up there. I really liked him, and he had a great game. And that combination, Horta as well, having it feels like Horta hasn't had as good a game as this for a little while as well. So
True. That's very true.
there was a things sort of maybe starting to click. And we've just been talking about how Porto sort of needs to improve week after week. If Braga did that themselves as well, it would be quite an interesting race to the end of the season for that third spot. And I sort of feel Braga sort of may take us by surprise and start actually standing out a little bit more than they have been.
I think it's interesting that the two players Barney's been most excited about this podcast, Juris Rasic and Mateus Reiss, probably tells you a lot about
I
this
mean,
show.
the only thing about Rasic is his hair is a bit ridiculous. Why is it so big and high?
Yeah, I mean, that probably tells you a lot about why this podcast isn't sort of higher in certain football charts. Anyway, yeah, good win for Braga and a decent performance from Maruca, who I think, probably didn't deserve to get anything from the game, but played decently. I think there's two more interesting games that I want to talk about. I enjoyed very much Moreirense 2, Vitória 2. This was my kind of game. I think a draw where Moreirense will feel like they gained a point, Vitória probably feel like they let two go. Once again, Arcanjo, the winger for Vitória, was the star of the show. I think another eye-catching performance. A player they picked up from Tondela, I believe, continues to do very well. Scored both goals for Vitória. I mean, the problem for Vitória in this game for me was they never took the game by the scruff of the neck and completely controlled it. They always let Moreirense back in. They time and time again were just not able to establish that dominance that they needed, probably to Moreirense's credit. And Moreirense scored two kind of perhaps slightly fortunate goals, you might say, the one with the deflection, certainly. But that said, credit to Moreirense for a good performance and punishing Vitória for their kind of lack of not being quite good enough. I mean, the one thing I was intrigued to look at after this game was Luis Ferreira's record since coming in as Vitória manager. So he's now been in charge for 11 games, not the longest amount of time, of course, but also not a very small amount of time. In that time, it's 3 wins, 2 losses, and 6 draws. Again, 11 games is not a lot, but I don't know about you guys, Andrew, whether you feel it's enough time to look at what they're doing under Luis Ferreira and say perhaps it's not quite good enough.
It's not quite good enough because this is a good squad of players and we know what they can do and we've seen them under other managers. But also, we have to look at Luis Ferreira and understand his limitations. We know what he can do because we've seen it in the past, but this is his first really big job. And he's setting up very cautiously. He's got some interesting individuals. I mean, you mentioned Telmo Akanji. Scored 2 goals, probably should have scored a hat trick, and he's one of those players that can kind of change a game. He's got
100%.
that kind of personality and that attitude and the talent for sure. So I wouldn't expect much more. I think this is kind of whatever the win rate now, it's going to be this for a while, until maybe the summer, and then he brings some players in, and then maybe we get to really see what he's about. For now, he's working with what he has, and I think he's trying to get as many points as he can, which of course every manager will, but he's doing it in a very conservative way instead of, sort of throwing the great pieces that he has at these teams. I mean, Moronés are a good team, but Vitória are slightly better, and they should have probably done better in this game. But I think it's down to sort of Luis Freire's limitations right now with what he's doing, and again, the pressure of the job, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's a lot of draws, but Moreirense are also a team that are known to draw a game as well.
That's
So I
true.
think it was just two teams that love drawing maybe, and they just did what they do best.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting with Ferreira because he was such a highly rated manager at Rio Ave before he left. And it's important to note, he wasn't poached by Vitória. He left Rio Ave by kind of mutual consent and was free on the market. And, I've always kind of been in two minds about Vitória because, on the one hand, I think it can be a real gift of a job in a sense that there's very few times. They're not exactly going to go and get a star manager, so they do often recruit from within Portugal, and they give opportunities to managers within the league who have achieved good things with smaller teams. And it's not very often that those managers will get opportunities to manage clubs of that size with such a like a big fan base, often competing for Europe. So on the one hand, it can be a gift, but it's also a job with a lot of pressure. One of the most difficult jobs in terms of the disparity between the amount of expectation from the fans and the kind of resources that you have to achieve those expectations. So I sympathize with that. But I have to say, I did think Ferreira was walking into a club where he had Okay, not an insane pool of talent, but lots of talented players, plenty of good young players as well, a very hungry squad, and it was a real opportunity to do something. And as yet, I've been disappointed with what I've seen from Ferreira personally.
And what I will say about Freire's, the other issues he has to worry about is come the summer, knowing the hierarchy, they're going to be looking at who they can sell because this is
Yeah.
what they do. They'll look at Alcântara and say, well, he's playing well. Maybe we can move him on. Thiago Silva's had this great season. Move him on. Tomás Randel, I mean, that type of midfielder is always in
Yeah.
demand in the bigger teams in Portugal and elsewhere. So this is the other thing he has to contend with. So it's going to be a difficult job, and that's one of the things that makes it very difficult to be Vitória's manager.
Completely.
I was gonna sort of bring that up, but from the other point, way really of sort of saying they've got that big the big sales in the Christmas window. I was actually looking at the squad and trying to work out who are those players that they might cash in. And you mentioned Silva, but I wonder about the age. Handel still hasn't quite shown, I don't know, those incredible levels. Though he is very talented, and then Arango, who yeah maybe is going to have this amazing run in and could be one of those players. But otherwise, I was actually perhaps going to suggest Luis Freire could find himself, with most of the squad intact, having made so much money in January, and then maybe not even in Europe to have that headache of the summer. And then I don't know, maybe suddenly we could see if he's given the time, it could be quite a strong second season for him with Vitória. That's a lot of speculation, I know, but that was just one idea that came to my head. I do think that there is, I don't know, I think perhaps I always downplay their talent because I didn't quite see some of those departures they had in January coming into, but I don't know. The likes of Miguel Maga, for example, who came in at left back this game, a player I've rated for quite a long time, but hasn't made that move. Handel as well, I guess, is in that bracket. But I just feel I wonder if they're in a sort of interesting position now where I think they might be able to keep some of their talent a little bit longer. I don't know.
Let's see. I mean, Luis Ferreira would certainly be hoping so. And gents, very quickly, if you have any thoughts on Morens, I mean, I think they'll be very happy with their mid-table position. I wasn't super inspired by the managerial appointment in Bacci, but I think it's kind of interesting chance for him to manage a club in Portugal that isn't a complete basket case, complete shambles, because they are quite reliable. And look, they scored two goals in a game. They can score goals, but as you say, Andrew, they're pretty much the draw specialists at the moment. I mean, I never expect too much from them, but look, very solid and quite comfortable at the moment.
I'm pretty sure this is what Moreirense are going to be under Cristiano Bacci. They're going to be a team that doesn't play great football. They are probably going to be or have to be quite efficient. In this game, they had an XG of under one, 0.89. They scored two goals, and one of them was the freak sort of deflection and
Yeah.
whatever. So you can't account for that kind of thing. But I suspect that's how they're going to be under Cristiano Bacci. We kind of saw that with Boavista, and Boavista is a whole other thing. It's very difficult to judge him on his performance with Boavista, with what they were going through. But I don't think if you're looking for inspired football, I don't know if you're going to get it from Moreirense, especially not the rest of the season. Just based on what we saw, they kind of figured it out. They got a draw. It was a big point for them. But yeah, not much to talk about really.
No, I mean, it's funny with Morens because I do keep a half eye on them. I mean, the Vasco Seabra days were for me the kind of the glory days in terms of watching Morens actually play a bit of football. And then obviously they got promoted with Rui Borges. And looking back, you can see that his style of football was kind of fairly pragmatic. But when you're one of the bigger teams in the league, it works and it can lead to a lot of wins. But when you're one of the smaller teams, it does all get a little bit defensive. But fair play to them because they're having a fairly solid season. And gentlemen, should we do one last game? Because I found Casapia 2 Rio Ave 1 quite an interesting game. Another impressive win for Casapia. Their great season continues. They also came from behind to win the game 2-1. Goals from Cassiano and their defender Chamba gave them all 3 points. Disappointing again, I have to say. From Rio Ave's perspective, who've dropped far too many points for me this season against teams that they should be beating. But another great win for Casapia and Andrew, I'm not going to bring up past comments that may or may not have been made on the podcast about Casapia. Let's just enjoy the fact that they're playing well and winning games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Rioav did have a penalty that was missed, a
Yes, of
very
course.
generous penalty that, in my eyes, is never a penalty. So it could have been different if that goal was scored. You know, Thiago Moraes scores a goal and then he misses a penalty. So a bit of a tough game for him. But this game was strange because Rioav started really well and they were more dominant and then they scored. And then once Casapia equalized, they really struggled to get a foothold in the game. And I don't know what happened to Rioav. They just, I'm not sure, or maybe Casapia just continued to improve, but they play really good football, Casapia, and they're very efficient. And that's the thing. And this is it's been a sort of hallmark of Casapia for a long time because they used to not really create a lot of chances. They had to put the chances away that they had. And again, this is one of those games where there was a disparity in XG. So Casapia had a XG of like 1.16, which is, you know, it's pretty low. But Rioav's XG was 2.27. Now, in there's a penalty, sure, but that just shows you how efficient Casapia are. You know, they didn't create that many great chances, but they did what they had to do. They play really good football. And I mean, I can just see them getting better. You know, this season, I don't think they're chasing Europe anymore. They can probably just start thinking about next season now. But I'm interested to see what they do in the summer. You know, they have limited funds, but now they're kind of an exciting team with an exciting manager. So the next step is really the sort of big one for them.
Yeah, and they've been a kind of a positive influence in the league, I think, since they were promoted. I mean, I remember when they were that first season when they were promoted, and they had a fantastic start to that season. And I know it kind of, and they were flirting with the European places, and then obviously it did die off. That was kind of natural for a team, such a small team. The follow-up season was a bit more disappointing, and now we're here with a team once again kind of showing a bit of quality, which is good to see. And players like Cassiano contributing, players like I love to watch. So it's a very enjoyable time to follow Casapia. Leonardo Lello, two assists, man of the match performance. Very, very pleasing to see him playing at the level that we know he can, because he impressed so many people in his first season in the Primeira Liga. And then maybe story that we see a lot of, a player who stays at the club for a bit too long, doesn't get the big move in the summer, and then isn't perhaps as motivated. But this is what we've kind of come to expect from him, this kind of performance, which was which I found particularly pleasing. Barney, what do you think? Because I'm trying not to be too harsh on Rioav, but I think it's like where they are in the league and the kind of results they've had, I find it very disappointing. They're only 6 points ahead of the relegation playoff place for a team that made so many good signings, signed so many exciting players, and spent a lot of money. I have to say, I think it's disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, look at this game. They've obviously had their issues and the personnel available. They had sort of no Clayton, so no one out and out striker was sort of Thiago Moraes, sort of leading the line. The midfield as well. You know, they've almost become reliant on the young players on loan in Tiknaz, the Turkish central midfielder, and Aguilera, the Costa Rican on loan from Forest, who were absent in this game as well, and I think that was quite noticeable. Yeah, I think it's just that. It's sort of stuff we sort of highlighted at the beginning of the season where we said, you know, with all these players coming in, it was going to be a question of finding the right combinations and also, you know, having familiarity with those players when they, you know, to build some sort of rhythm. And yeah, through injuries and whatnot, that has affected them, I think, a bit this season. I mean, Andre Lewis, I wanted to talk about the player they signed from Australia, had a pretty decent game on the right. And you know, one of those. I know. I like seeing a player make. It's interesting to say Rioav is now one of those step ups. But if you see what I mean, like you know, there's a player moving up to a bigger team leader and looking good. I think that's good. But I think, yeah, I do. I do. I've always been a. It's always been a worry of mine about a team that has this sort of thing going on and the amount of players coming in and how yeah, consistency can perhaps be hard to find when that's happening.
And do you guys think Petit is the sort of the right guy to take Rioav that next step? I mean, he's sort of this as a manager anyway. He's always been this kind of perpetual underachiever almost. And you bring all these players in. You have this great partnership with Forest, and you can get these players in that you probably wouldn't have been able to. And then you're sort of relying on Petit. I think he's done some good stuff in his career, but I think you maybe need something different, and something else, because I certainly think with the team and the players that he has available, they should be playing a bit better and getting better results.
I didn't think it was an inspiring choice at the time. And I think I remember saying at the time, I kind of, forgive me, I can't remember exactly when it happened, but I think I remember at the time feeling like they'd almost rushed it a bit, perhaps, and maybe there was better choices out there. I think I find it hard with Petit is to judge how he did at Boavista, because on the one hand, he has a lot of respect and a lot of people give him a lot of credit for basically keeping them up in very difficult circumstances. But then it's hard to judge a manager's kind of prowess in that situation, because keeping a club afloat with limited resources and in difficult circumstances is a very specific skill that doesn't apply to every team, and doesn't necessarily mean that if you give them a bigger job with better money, they're going to somehow, achieve better things with a better team. And yeah, I mean, I think what I'm getting at is I don't particularly think it's a great appointment, and I think they could have done better. But I guess the other way of looking at it is with the new ownership, maybe they just wanted experience, maybe they wanted a safe pair of hands, and they didn't want to take a risk with the managerial appointment, which I think is fair. But I think if they get to the end of the season and they're still kind of where they are in the table, not particularly far above relegation, and in a particularly fairly unspectacular position, I think the owners will start looking at it and saying, well, if we're going to invest all this money in players, then we're going to need a manager to match.
Danielle Sauce is out there somewhere, so maybe Petit's
I
just
mean,
keeping you warm.
it's logical. It's the next logical step.
If they need someone to coach for 2 or 3 games and then mysteriously
Absol
move on, he's your man.
absolutely. All right. Well, on that note, gentlemen, shall we leave it there? A big thank you to everybody for listening, and a big thank you once again to Andrew for joining us. As always, you'll be able to find links to all Andrew's work in the description of this podcast. There's also a link to check out our Patreon if you wish to do so. But yeah, I think that just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.